You better pay attention. It's Buchanan and Seton on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
We are back on the Buchanan and Seton Show. If you are just joining us, we are in the midst of a conversation concerning national politics. Our guest in this moment is radio show host Mr. Benjamin Dixon. He has been enlightening our audience. We have been going back and forth, and it has been a wonderful exchange of ideas. We invite you to join this conversation at 773-591-1690, 773-591-1690. Mr. Dixon, I'm going to go ahead and let you respond to what David just said, and then we're going to take a call.
Yeah. I'm glad, David, that he put it in context in the context of a lack of education. There's a level of ignorance, and I think it's weaponized ignorance in some cases and intentional obtuseness in other cases, because they know full well that Bernie Sanders is not a communist-style, Russian-style, anything that they try to label him as. However, it is a political game, right? And being that it is a political game, you don't give your opponents the weapons that they need to use against you.
Exactly.
And so to that end, I think I have to agree with them on that. However, I think the only reason Joe Biden is the best candidate as of July 2020 to go up against Donald Trump is because Bernie Sanders dropped out. Right. Because if Bernie was in the race still, then I would say that he would be the best one to go up. But he's not. And so we don't have time to play with Donald Trump. It's Joe Biden. So be it. We got to get Donald Trump out of there.
So with that, let's go ahead and take a call. We've got Alan holding on line one. We're going to get him in here. Alan, thanks for calling the Buchanan and Seton Show. Thanks. What's your question or comment? I'm sorry.
Y'all got some intelligent guy, because I called Bernie Sanders today. I said, you know why? I say if he was younger, he would probably be the vice president. You know why I say that? You know who saved Joseph Biden, Mr. Benjamin, what's your last name? Dixon? Yeah. You hit the home run, man, because you see it just like I see it. Joseph Biden campaign was saved by the South. Now, which of the three can get down to the South quicker? Elephant, Democrat, or Andrew Cuomo? You know, Val Demings, she's in Florida. They can run up there and say, the donkey is slow. The elephant is slow. I'm surprised by it because he got a runaway lead on Donald Trump. It's almost like he's looking for a token, you know, because the blacks down there saved him. I'm serious. You know why? I said Val Demings or Andrew Cuomo. You know why?
You're saying they should be his vice presidential pick?
You know why? Because there's a lot of corruption in the government. Val Demings can be the investigator. I'm saying that she can be the VP, too.
Okay.
But Andrew Cuomo, look at the stock market. Look at all the people down south. It's 120 degrees. And they resurrected Joseph Biden's campaign. Now, look how he's treating them. We don't expect Trump, like you said, we don't expect Trump to do anything. He just messed up. But when you start looking at the polls, say, I'm going to do a runaway. But look how many people down south suffering. Look how many people suffering.
Thank you so much.
That's why I said, look, let me say this right here. Are you there? You know the senators? Are you there, my brother?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Real quick.
You know, Elizabeth Warren needs to stay in the Senate. Kamala Harris needs to stay in the Senate. Cory Booker needs to stay in the Senate. Klobuchar needs to stay in the Senate. Now, how are we going to have some power if we don't flip the Senate? See what I'm saying? If you put one of them VP, you got to still control the Senate. We want Harry Reid out. We want Barr out. We want Trump out. This is why I said if he doesn't name somebody by November, because you're right, he's about 75. I don't think he's going to make it to November. Now, who is the black leader? Now, who's the Democratic leader? Maybe the dunk is so slow. See that?
Thank you so much for your call, Alan. Great points all. Go ahead and respond to that.
It was hilarious because I honestly believe that he's right on that last point, particularly Joe Biden being 78. This is really about his VP pick. We need to be smoking that person over right now. We need to vet. I mean, I know their internal team is vetting them, but there's a lot to be said about that VP pick because I am not honestly sure if Joe Biden's going to make it through his first term. So to that end, I think they're trying to play it fast and loose. They're trying to make sure that they can cover their butts and try to get somebody perfect who isn't going to take a lot of heat. But that doesn't work. Anybody they pick is going to be scrutinized tremendously. They're going to be attacked. And so I think it's better for them to go ahead and make that pick so that we can get adjusted to thinking about that person as the next president, because Joe Biden is not – I don't know if he's going to make it through the first term.
Here's the other thing that causes his VP pick to be so monumental, so important, so pivotal. He has an enthusiasm gap. And so, again, Barack Obama, whoever he picked to be his vice president, it was nominal. It really didn't matter. Because as a candidate, he was so strong, people were voting for him. But in Joe Biden,
I got to jump in there just to correct the record, because both of you are saying this, and since both of you are Bernie supporters, I have to say this. That's not historically accurate. We are experiencing the same thing right now at the end of a Trump first term that we were experiencing at the end of a George W. Bush second term. But by the time George W. Bush had finished his second term, we had had an economic turndown. We had Katrina. We had weapons of mass destruction. We had the Iraq War. We had Medicaid Part D. We had tax cuts and all of the things that people. So, yes, Barack Obama, he did have a lot of affirmative support. But a lot of what put him over the edge was the Republican brand had been tarnished by 8 years of George W. Bush. The only thing different today is that Donald Trump has managed to squeeze 8 years of George W. Bush into 3.5 years of a first term.
And I agree with you. And with all that said, Joe Biden still has an enthusiasm problem.
Well, again,
and that's why his VP pick is so important.
Well, again, and even to kind of coattail on what the caller said, and I'd love to get your perspective on this, Benjamin Dixon. Again, we have to keep it's important to keep this historically correct. When we were going through the first two states in the Democratic primary, we went to Iowa and we went to New Hampshire. Iowa is 97% white and it's agrarian. New Hampshire is 96% white. And then by the time we got down to South Carolina was the first state that was demographically representative or close demographically representative of what the United States looks like. It's incorrect to say that black people solely in the state of South Carolina saved Joe Biden, because if only black people had voted for Joe Biden in South Carolina, he would have lost there also. It is more appropriate to say that when Pete Buttigieg won in Iowa, I wrote an article on my blog way back then. But I'm saying he came in first place in that straw poll in Iowa, and then Bernie Sanders won in New Hampshire. So when you by the time you got down to South Carolina, it was because you had a racially diverse electorate, and Joe Biden was picked by that racially diverse electorate. So again, it's just important it's important to keep that into context. Finally, I'll say this, and then I want to hear from you. Again, it's a little bit intellectually dishonest to make an issue of Joe Biden's age when Bernie Sanders is 6 months older than him.
I'm not here to make an issue of his age.
That's a great place to start. That's a good place to start. So, listen, I want everything that I'm getting ready to say to be put in context of we got to get rid of Donald Trump, right?
Sure.
So everything we're talking about here is just kind of intellectual exercise, not changing anybody's mind and trying to sway anybody in terms of who they're going to vote for, because we got to get Donald Trump out of office. That being said, you can't compare Bernie Sanders to Joe Biden in terms of age, because there's clearly a step or two that's missing in the cognitive abilities of Joe Biden. Still, we need to got to vote for him, got to get him in there, because we got to get rid of Donald Trump. But Bernie Sanders has the wherewithal, the mental stamina to go up against anybody in the debate. And if they don't give Joe Biden his shot that he needs before the debate with Donald Trump, it's going to be a massacre. Still, not trying to insult him, we got to vote him in there. Now, in terms of South Carolina, I'm not even going to talk about the past. No, I do have to talk about the past. When's the last time a Democrat actually won South Carolina? Because what happened in South Carolina is that, yes, it is a racially diverse, but it was the black vote that actually secured it for Joe Biden. And this is great. Clyburn came in the ninth hour and gave him an endorsement. And I believe 75% of the people who voted said that they voted because of Clyburn's endorsement. I may have the numbers wrong, but it was an obscene amount of people who were waiting on Jim Clyburn's endorsement. That said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when it comes to the general election because Democrats ain't winning South Carolina. I don't know the last time they won South Carolina. And so if we allow that to be the benchmark, it's a fool's errand because it's going to come back and bite us in the behind because we're not going to win states like South Carolina because they are deeply red and they're deeply rooted in the same type of thing that got Donald Trump to the White House.
No, you're exactly right. And the last time that Democrats won South Carolina was in 1976 under Jimmy Carter. And that was probably due in large part because he was the governor of Georgia.
Yeah.
With that
and there it is. So I don't like that benchmark. I mean, I understand your argument, but I really have to reject it because it is enough for the primaries. Certainly, the South is enough to win the primaries for the Democratic nomination, but we lose the South in every general election.
We've got another call holding. We're going to take Cliff on line three. Cliff, thanks for calling the Buchanan and Seaton Show.
I totally agree with what you're saying in terms of Jim Biden, his impact on the election and down in South Carolina. And so with that being said, she had a vice president, Amy Klobuchar, I believe her name is, if I'm not mistaken, and she dropped out. But she initially said that Joe Biden should pick a black woman. So you have five candidates to choose from, including Stacey Abrams, Susan Rice, Kamala Harris, who else, and a few more, Keisha Lance Bottoms.
Stacey Demings.
You know what I mean?
Val Demings.
Val Demings, thank you.
You know, so the point I'm making is that if he does, and he should, there should be no reason why he can't pick a black. And so who would have a problem, and why would he potentially lose if he picks a black candidate? So would it be white liberals, white women to be the ones that we've got to be concerned with? And so I don't see why he can't make this commitment and make this choice right now in choosing a black woman. So if we're going to talk about the Democratic Party and being diverse and being liberal, so why are we now questioning whether white people or white women in the Democratic Party would embrace a black woman? So what are we dealing with here? Do we still have racism within our Democratic Party? And I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thank you, John.
Thanks for calling.
Brother, you preached the word right there. Because right? that's exactly what's going on, right? There is a conundrum. Joe Biden, the number one problem with Joe Biden isn't even Joe Biden. It is the Democratic consultants that surround him. And they play by a playbook that they have been running since Jimmy Carter. And they've lost so many elections with that same playbook. And this is what the conventional wisdom of these consultants is telling Joe Biden right now, which is why I'm so afraid. They know that there's going to be a certain percentage of white people in the Democratic Party who are uncomfortable with a black woman candidate as VP. And they're not willing to risk that. They are more willing to risk, these consultants. I don't know what Joe Biden's going to do. If he's smart, he will pick a black woman because he put his mouth, you know, he made the promise. But
he said he was going to pick a woman. He didn't say a black woman.
A woman. The insinuation, and I think the general expectation out of all this coming out of South Carolina, particularly with Jim Clyburn, was that it was going to be a woman of color, right? But you are right in terms of his precise words, it was going to be a woman. His best choice is to pick a black woman because the black vote is really looking at him with a side eye. We do know we got to get rid of Donald Trump, but we do have a huge gap in enthusiasm around Joe Biden. That said, the people who are consulting him are telling him people like Governor Whitmer out of Michigan, somebody from a swing state, somebody who is non-threatening. But if you ask a question about why they're telling them that, because racism still does exist in the Democratic Party. We got a long way to go.
Let me ask you a question, though. Is it that racism exists in the Democratic Party or that they're acknowledging racism still exists in the country?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. That's a distinction without a difference, because if they give in to those pressures, then they are complicit.
Well, let me push you back a little bit more. Is this an issue of racism, or is this an issue of numbers? This country has 330 million people in it, of which approximately 40 to 42 million of them are African American. And of that 42 million, you've got about maybe 22 to 25 million who are voting age, and about 95. You know, Donald Trump has like a 2 or 3% approval rating with African Americans. So that said, at the end of the day, Is it about racism, or is it about just looking at the numbers? I think the biggest detriment or the biggest impediment to advancing the African-American agenda to date has been that we have not formed the coalitions necessary to get the majority numbers to get the thing, to get our agenda items implemented in legislatures across this country. So if we just sit back and we just say, as African-Americans, you have to pick a black woman as your running mate, or we're not going to vote for you. We're only 12, 13, 14% of the population anyway.
Yeah, David, I promise you, you throw up some alley-oops for me to slam dunk. Like, you throw me some softballs for me to hit a home run. Because check this out, man. The Democratic Party is so dependent on the black vote, they better
True.
Not mess this up.
True.
They need 60% of African-Americans in this country. All of the black folks in this country, they need 60% of us to show up. Of that 60%, they need 90% of us to vote for them. If we don't show up at 60% and 90% vote for the Democratic Party, they lose.
No, I'm agreeing with you there.
We may be a minority, and we are a minority. The Democratic Party owes us. And here's the other thing. Me personally, I don't care if it's a black woman or not. I care about the politics of that individual, because if we get a black person who's nothing more than the black face of white supremacy, the black face on American imperialism, who's going to carry out the same economic paradigm that put us in the conditions that we're in right now, carry out the same foreign policy that's indiscriminately killing millions of brown people across the globe, then it does us no good as human beings. So I don't want to get in there some fiscally conservative war hawk, and just because she's a black woman. But in terms of just raw politics, they need the black vote so desperately that's why he's taking so long, because he hasn't figured out how he can keep the black vote and get a white VP.
Let me ask you this. I want to talk about the enthusiasm gap for a little bit, because most times when we say that, what we're really talking about is progressives, right? We're talking about young people, mm-hmm. and we're talking about progressives. And I've seen a lot of progressives say, I'm not voting for Joe Biden because he does not support Medicare for all. He does not support a Green New Deal. And he does not support the legalization of marijuana. His inability to find some compromise in those three things, is that going to keep him from being able to get the level of the progressive vote that he needs? Does he need to move left is my question.
He has no reason not to move left. The America, we desperately need, in COVID-19, Medicare for all, right? We desperately need some economic populism. The government needs to be writing checks right now so that every person that is not truly an essential worker can stay home. And I say truly because McDonald's are telling their employees that they're essential workers. But everybody needs to be staying home right now. And that is a mindset of a more left-leaning government. But the government refuses to do that because of where we are economically. And I don't even know that Joe Biden is going to do that. But to your underlying point, is that going to weaken the progressive turnout? Probably. But to what extent? I don't know. What I have done, though, is I leave the progressives to themselves. We are still hurt. We're angry. We're frustrated. And you got to let people do what they got to do. I mean, Hillary Clinton supporters were upset all the way till after the election. Like 25% of Hillary voters chose not to vote for Barack Obama. And so, I'm not going to argue with them about this, because I do know the significance of us getting rid of Donald Trump. But also I understand that they're going to have to work through that themselves.
Well, here's the thing. And Atiba and I have had this conversation scores of times, especially when we were still going through the Democratic primary. And here's the mistake that I see Bernie supporters making, and especially when I hear Bernie supporters over and over again address the issue of lack of enthusiasm. To me, that's epicaricacy. That aside, here's the issue that I have with Bernie supporters when they make that Biden's not progressive. He's not as far left as Bernie Sanders. He doesn't support Medicare for all, but he does support a public option. On the continuum, on the spectrum of most progressive to most conservative, a public option is on the far left of that continuum, right next to Medicare for All, if we're going to talk about structurally the things that it's trying to accomplish. Joe Biden in his tax plan has said that he is going to create keep the existing Social Security taxes up to the 100, and I think it's 119 or 100, I can't remember the exact number, but the low 100,000s. Then there's going to be a donut hole to 400,000, and then $400,000 and up, he's going to reinstitute Social Security taxes up to 12.6% to make sure that Social Security is solvent through the end of this century. He said that he's going to remove dividend taxes at that 15%, and he's going to tax dividend income at the top 39.6%. He's going to take the top tax rate from 36 to 39.6%. He's talked about expanding Section 8 vouchers so 11 million more people can have access to fair housing. He's talked about, I mean, there are any number of things that Joe Biden has espoused that are progressive. They are just not as far left as Joe Biden. And I think progressives and Bernie supporters specifically are intellectually dishonest, and we're doing ourselves a disservice by not admitting that Joe Biden has a progressive platform.
I don't know about that intellectual dishonesty part, because here's the thing. I feel like Joe Biden is giving us the very least he possibly can to get the label of progressive, especially when you look at his track record. Even if you look at what he said in this campaign, forget those things that are behind. Forget the past. In this campaign, he said nothing is going to fundamentally change. That was his promise to the donors. In this campaign, he has demonstrated that he is going to run the country in a way that is capitulating to Republicans. He has made statements over and over again, and you actually pointed this out, and that's why I asked you how you could support Joe Biden, because if anybody is trying to play by the old book, the old rules, by the old way of doing things, it is Joe Biden. He wants nothing more than to have it out on the floor with everybody and then go and have a nice bourbon or a scotch afterwards and laugh and laugh it up while the Republicans go to their clandestine meetings and plan to overtake this country. And that's what they've done.
But let me ask you this. Wait. I got to ask you this. I got to fit this in because we're almost at the end of the hour. But When we frame the conversation like this, aren't we making the same mistake that Republicans have masterfully marketed to trick the average American voter? The average American voter has not, the undereducated, low information, misinformed voter, whatever you want to call them, they think that the power of legislation sits in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, when really it's about who's in Congress. It's really about the members. If you have large enough numbers in the Senate and in the House of Representatives, it doesn't matter if the president agrees with you or not. So if we get a tsunami, if we get 53, 54, 55 members of the Senate this November, and we take another 10 to 15 members of the House of Representatives, and all of those people in Congress are swept in by a progressive agenda that's coming up from the people, then Joe Biden won't have any choice but to implement the laws that are sent to him.
What did he say about Medicare for All if it got passed and came to his desk? He said he would veto it.
Because he believes in a public option.
Because he believes in the health care donors that he has at his table right now, right? Because there's no valid reason to look at America and look at the rest of the developed world and say that Medicare for All, a single-payer system, is not the way to go. Healthcare is a human right. And if we get down to the core of it, the reason he's doing these things is because who is in his pocket. And this is not to make him a villain above and beyond anyone else. That's how American politics works.
Right.
But that's why people believe so much in Bernie Sanders.
Let me again. I hear what you're saying, but I have to push back on you for one more second. Isn't what created the Tea Party and created Sarah Palin and ultimately Donald Trump, isn't what created them is the perception, not the reality, but the perception by conservative voters that Democrats overreached by implementing the Affordable Care Act?
Yes and no, but I think if we look at the timing of it, the Tea Party was born the moment that Barack Obama was elected, right? In earnest, it came with some funding afterwards as a reaction to the Affordable Care Act, but the Tea Party was blossoming since the election night. And so I think it's both and. But to your underlying point of the way the different parties play politics, I could agree with you more if I believed that Joe Biden was playing a hand to get an office to implement the policies he really wants to implement. The thing is, the policies he really wants to implement is really about negotiating with Republicans, because that's all he talks about every time you hear him speak. Now, before we run out of time, I want to make sure I say this. Vote Donald Trump out of office, people. Everything that we're talking about here is just an intellectual exercise. Like, one of my friends put it like this. He said he's going to vote for Joe Biden, but he's going to be complaining all the way to the ballot box. So everything that we're saying, I do think that Joe Biden has a lot of shortcomings, but heck, that's where we are.
Joe Biden on his worst day is better than Donald Trump. Yeah. I mean, because at the end of the day, it's specifically on health care. We're talking about whether Bernie Sanders would have Medicare for all or Joe Biden would have a public option, while the Trump administration is trying to dissemble the Affordable Care Act and take away protections for pre-existing conditions. That's the difference in what we're talking about.
For us to say, it is not hyperbole for us to say that, yeah, Bernie Sanders wants Medicare for all. Joe Biden says he wants a public option, and Donald Trump is actively doing things that will get Americans killed.
Exactly.
So the ball game is totally different.
And let me just add a little bit to that for our listeners. Donald Trump does represent a very unique and existential threat to this country.
Yes, sir.
I can say with a straight face, because, you know, David and I are both in our late 40s now, and we are old enough to remember it wasn't always like this. And I can't think of a Republican president in our past that would have handled COVID-19 the way that Donald Trump has handled it. If this had happened during, you know, between 2001 and 2008, I would believe, based on what we saw of George W. Bush, that he might have bungled it because he's not the smartest guy in the room, but he wouldn't have bungled it because he was just solely out for his own self-interest. And so it's that type of motivation, the way that Donald Trump operates solely for himself, at the expense of everyone else, including innocent people and including citizens of this country, that makes him such a unique and existential threat to our well-being and to our democracy. So, you know, first things first, Donald Trump has to go. We have the Lincoln Project that is making phenomenal ads, right? And people are saying, well, they're going to be doing the same ads against Democrats in 2024. So what? The enemy of my enemy today is my friend. And so, because the issue today is to get Donald Trump out of office. We'll deal with those ads from the Lincoln Project 4 years from now, 4 years from now. But today, we need to get Trump out of office. Mr. Dixon, real quick, go ahead and tell our listeners where they can find you, follow you, support you, all that good stuff.
Yeah, most of all, follow me on Twitter at Benjamin P. Dixon. But more than anything else, support this program that you're listening to right now. These are two phenomenal brothers. There's nothing I would rather do on late Friday night than to chop it up with brilliant brothers like this. So wherever they can support you, please go and support this program.
Yeah,
we appreciate that. And we'll look forward to coming on your show and doing a part two of this conversation.
Part two coming up. We've got to get it this week and next. We'll make it happen. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Bye-bye.
Again, you are listening to the Buchanan and Seaton Show. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back. AM 1690, the Talk of Chicago.